I have had his Veda Veda, a rare oneness and difference, is simply Tarkapara. It is subject to argument. Why? Because they are not basing it exactly on the scripture. Whenever the Veda comes in the scripture, immediately they jump off from the platform of scripture and they develop some kind of a speculation inside their skull, not in the intelligence. Skull is just dead bone. Intelligence is different. And fifth, consciousness is even much different. So this Mayavada explanation comes from the skull, just a dead bone. It's Madhvacharya's words. It's not my poetical capacity. Madhvacharya said, Svakhapola kalpita matraha. Svakhapola, from their own skulls. Kalpita, they imagine something. Matraha, and nothing else. It is simply imagined. Because as soon as they come to a verse, it says it is different. They immediately say, no, it is Javaharika Plata. Only in the temporary stage you think like that. And when you come to knowledge, then there is no difference. So their establishment of difference and oneness is Tarka Matra. It is subject to argument. It is subject to criticism too. Because it is coming from their Kapola. Prabhupada translated this in one of his purports. He said, it is the production of their mental faculties. He was a little gentle. He didn't want to get down to the bones. So he said, just to be gentle, he said, this is the production of their mental faculties. So then Gautama, Kanada, Jaimini, Kapila, Patanjali, they have also explained difference and oneness. Like we discussed in the previous chart, there are six kinds of philosophies. And these five kinds are completely godless. These philosophies, Gautama, Kanada, Jaimini, Kapila, Patanjali, they have also explained oneness and difference. But actually, they are not accepted by Vyasadeva. Vyasadeva refutes these philosophers in Brahma Sutra. Because of that, if Kanada or Jaimini, if they speak about simultaneous oneness and difference, we don't accept it. Why we don't accept it? Just like the false currency note. It has got the Queen's picture there. It says everything in different languages. It says that this is 50 pounds. But we don't take it. Why? It is not currency. It is printed in somebody else's house. It is not coming from the actual Reserve Bank. Imperial Bank is not printing it. So we don't take it. Imperial Bank is who? For us, Reserve Bank is Vyasadeva. Any currency comes through Vyasadeva, we will accept. Other currencies, counterfeit. We don't take it. And either we will try to take the actual currency and try to change it, not in a bank, behind the long building, 7 o'clock in the night. Somebody is sitting there and telling, this is 16 rupees per dollar, 19 rupees per dollar. We won't do that either. So we will not take the conclusion of Srila Prabhupada's book and go and confirm it from somebody else somewhere. It is like changing pure American currency but outside the bank. Then also you will get into trouble. Sometimes you may get more explanations. More explanations. Because now you get 50 rupees per dollar. Very nice. When you come out, then there is policeman standing. Then you are finished. Not only you are finished, visa for other devotees for next year is also finished. By your mercy, you become a paradukha. Because of the misery of others, you become happiness. Paradukha suchi. Becomes other way around. So don't do that. Don't change notes outside. This is also a philosophical point there. But don't take Prabhupada's books, don't take Prabhupada's contentions and go to somebody else and get confirmed. And you will get more explanations. Some of them will be very nice also. But very soon, we will see you with beards and going here and there and doing all kinds of things. And I don't want to say, I'm a small devotee. Hare Krishna. So, because in the Mundaka Upanishad, Yatha Anadyas, Kyandamanaha, this explanation is there. Like rivers enter the ocean. When the rivers enter the ocean, the particles of water in the river, they go and mix with the ocean. That may be. But the grandness of the ocean, they never attain. Neither the jewels and pearls and beautiful crystals which are under the floor of the ocean, they can be there in these particles of water which come from the river. So there is a great difference between the river water and the ocean water. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained this. Yatha anadya syandamanaha. The nadis are entering, but these rivers are entering ocean. River never becomes ocean. Then he gave the explanation like a green bird entering a green tree. They are both green, but the bird is not tree. This like saying that the old man has bald head, and the child has no hair. Old man cannot digest solid food. The child is drinking milk. The old man is blabbering because he cannot speak properly. And the child is not speaking properly. So the old man and the child, they are same. This is wonderful logic. Anyway, we can go on with so many others. So, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu concluded that if you want to know the Bheda Vakya and Abheda Vakya, if you want to understand the difference between or the harmony between these words in the scriptures which say it is two and those words in the scriptures which say it is one, if you want to understand this, then what you have to do, wherever difference is mentioned, you take Mukhya Artha, don't explain Lakshana Vritti. This is the big defense Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought. And that is why this sampradaya is more glorious than any other sampradaya. No offense to any of the acharyas, they are all happy to hear this statement. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained this trick of understanding Vedic literature. How can he explain it? Why? Because he is Vedic literature. He is Krishna. Except Krishna, no one can explain this. And that was proved. Even authorized by Krishna, they only explained some aspects. Krishna did not allow them to explain it fully. Because even if they would have explained it fully, it would not been happening here. People, living entities can never understand it. Because the unlimited mercy only flows from the heart of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Even as Krishna, he puts condition. Sarvadharman parijyajyo. Give up everything, then I will consider. Stand in the queue. Mahasutaha, don't worry, even if it is a long queue. That is what he says. It's like the queue in anywhere in India. Anywhere you go, there is queue. Even if you want to commit suicide in Kumbh Mela, there is a big queue. After going through all the camps, everybody decided to commit suicide. So they are all standing there. And you get waiting list number. So Krishna said, you stand in the queue. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no. You just chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I give you everything. Masuchaha. Again Masuchaha, he said, don't worry. Avashya Rakkive Krishna. Krishna will protect you. He was telling Krishna will protect. He was Krishna. So he was giving you guarantee, I will protect you. You simply become Namastrito. You take shelter of the holy name. So Bhedavritti, wherever there is difference mentioned in the scriptures, you should take it only in the context of difference. And wherever the oneness is mentioned in the scriptures, take it in the context of oneness. Don't try to do this jumbo jet business. Then you will have air crash. That is what happens. You try to do the jet, do some big jetting business. When you take differences in mention, you try to see oneness in it. And then oneness is mentioned, you try to see difference in it. And that is not Veda Veda. This is the foolishness which was committed by all these different people. From beginning, from Asmaradhyaya, ending in Jaimini, Kapila, all these people. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the final, wonderful explanation. Mukhya Vritti Chadiya, Lakshana Vritti Korilo. He said, Sripada Shankaracharya, he is not having any default. Because he has just given the Mukhya Vritti, the main meaning, and he has simply given Lakshana Vritti. So one should take Mukhya Vritti. Wherever it says it is one, understand. Yes, it is one. Wherever it says different, understand. It is different. And then you want to know, well, I don't understand this. Yes, but just try to understand that you cannot understand. That is the explanation of Prabhupada. You will understand that you cannot understand. And that is the only understanding. That is the meaning of Achintya, Bheda, Abheda, Tattva. So from Madhvacharya's line, Mahaprabhu took two principles. One is refutation of this oneness of soul and Krishna. This is one point. Second point, he accepted the deity form as supreme absolute truth. So these two principles, Mahaprabhu instructed. And from Ramanuja's line, he accepted pure devotional service and service to Vaishnava. And this evening we will discuss about Sripal Nimbarka and Vishnu Swami. And since we are short of time, and these two lines, practically they are completely blended in our line. Everything we have heard about, they have said some very close to those. And so we will just discuss a little bit on each. And then tomorrow morning, if the initiations are finished by 10:30, so I'm thinking I'm also doing tomorrow. It is not casual, but if anyone is interested, you can come. And this will be great philosophical discussion. So if somebody is only interested in the story, stories are finishing this evening. And it will be just Hada philosophy, type philosophical discussion of comparing all the four and then giving conclusion. That will be tomorrow. That completes this seminar. And then after festival, if anyone is staying for a few days, we will have questions and answers on this. And timing for that, I can tell you tomorrow. I'm not sure yet when and where. Maybe in the same place. Hare Krishna.
Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Subhasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Other two sampradayas. So this is Kumara Sampradaya. And here is the Acharya founder of this line, Sripad Nimbas Acharya. And this is Lord Shiva, Rudra Sampradaya, where is Sripad Vishnu Swami. You know, these two acharyas, they had a very special type of association and connection with Sri Chaitanya's line. Actually, all these three, they had a different style than Madhvacharya. Ramanujacharya and Madhvacharya, they were instructed by Sri Chaitanya before Sri Chaitanya's manifest pastime. And Nimbas and Vishnu Swami were also instructed like that, but Nimbas and Vishnu Swami, also Ramanuja, they appeared also during the time of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's manifest pastime. So this Kumara Sampradaya, the Supreme Lord Narayana in his pastime of Hamsa Avatar, he took the incarnation in the form of a swan when the demons have stolen the Vedic knowledge from Brahma. The Lord appeared as Hamsa. And Kumaras, they were instructed by this particular form of the Supreme Lord, Hamsa. That is why that line is also known as Hamsa Sampradaya. And Nimbarka was the main acharya in that line, Tapaka Acharya. Now about Nimbarka's actual time of appearance, there are various opinions by the scholars. But from the Puranas, Bhavishya Puran, Kanda Puran, Padma Puran, then Pancharatri, Vishnu Jamala, then in Upanishad, Parivrajaka Upanishad, from these books, it is very clear that Nimbarka was much, much before Sripada Sankaracharya. Nimbarka's first disciple, Srinivasacharya, who is also a very famous acharya in that line. Nimbarkacharya wrote this commentary on Brahma Sutra, which is known as Parijata Saurabha Bhashya, Parijata Saurabha commentary. And Srinivasacharya wrote a commentary on this commentary, which is also known as Parijata Bhashya. So this Srinivasacharya is mentioned as one of the great pandits in the court of Vajranabha, the grandson of Krishna. So, this means Nimbarka was somewhere in the beginning of the age of Kali. Or it is also possible that he was at the end of Dwapara Yuga, just like the all worlds. And Nimbarkacharya appeared in south, but he moved to North India. In Nimbarka's commentary and his description on the devotional process, there is a great influence from the all worlds. So from this also it is very evident that he must have lived during that time, during the all worlds time. He uses specific words which are used by the all worlds in their Vidya Prabandha, except that these words are written in Sanskrit. And he very much stresses on the teachings of Namalwar and Andal, Goda. He has written, Nimbarkacharya has written many books. One of them is known as Mantra Rahasya. Another is known as Dasa Sloki. In this Dasa Sloki, he describes the process of devotion exactly following in the footsteps of Namalwar. So by all these information, we can understand that he was somewhere at the end of Dwapara Yuga and at the beginning of Kali. And this Nimbarkacharya, his father was Aruna Rishi and his mother was Jayanti Devi. And this Aruna Rishi had an ashrama which was very famous by the name Aruna Ashrama. And when Nimbarka appeared from various scholars who were experts in astrological calculation, it was confirmed that he is an Ansha. He is a Shakti Avesh of Sudarshan. So he was also known as Sudarshan Acharya. And at that time in North India, this Bauddhism and Jainism were very strong. So Nimbarka, he moved to North. He came to Vrindavan. He stayed in Govardhan. And from there, he started his preaching. And he took three big vijayas. He went for three pilgrimages, conquering different directions, establishing his philosophy of devotional service. During such time, once he was staying here in Simantadvipa, this direction. Simantadvipa is where Lord Jagannath is staying. So he was there with some of his associates and disciples, and during that time Lord Shiva appeared in his dream and he told him that very close from here is the forest of Bilva, Bilva Paksha, and there are hundreds of Bilva trees, just like Tulasi leaves is very favorable, very much liked by Krishna, Bilva leaves are liked by Lord Shiva. So these Bilva, these leaves are three leaves together from one stem. Looks like the eye of Shiva, two eyes and another middle eye. So this is Bilva. It's also known as Bail. So you would have You would know the Dale juice. The Dale juice is very famous in Mayapur Shakti. So this is the fruit. And the leaf is Bilvali. So this Dale leaf, there is a big forest there. So Lord Shiva told Nimbarka that if you go to that forest, you will get the darshan of your previous acharya. So when he went there, under one tree, he saw these four children. They were only looking like 5 years old. But they were situated in transcendental knowledge. So they called Nimbarka close by. And then they kept their lotus feet on his head. And then they said, "We are very pleased with your preaching of devotional service." And they said, "You organize this into a sampradaya and we will bless it. And it will be known by the name of four of us, Kumara Sampradaya." And then they said that here you should sit down and chant this mantra. And he was given this special mantra. This mantra was 2 syllables. It was very simple to chant that mantra. So now, this was happening very secretly so many hundreds of years ago, practically thousands of years ago. So in that line, nobody knows it. Now you may ask, how do you know? Because I am not in that line. That is why I know. Now we will all practice this mantra. We should chant at least 5 times. But it has to be chanted in one breath. This is great yoga. So we will practice it, some demonstration. And this is how you chant this mantra. Go! So let's go. 1, 2, 3. Go, 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 go! You can see how much ecstasy is coming from our dirty hearts. So, Nimbarka, who was Sudarshana's expansion, must be having much more ecstasy. So when he chanted, "Go, go, 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 go," there appeared in front of him this beautiful golden form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then Mahaprabhu, he looked at him with his lotus eyes and he was very pleased. And he said, "Nimbarka, I am very pleased with you because you are very gentle in explaining the philosophical import of the Vedic scriptures." Then he said that you organize this sampradaya by the blessings of Kumaras. Then he said that when I manifest my pastimes, you would come and meet me, and I would cure you of your false pride, which you will exhibit at that time. Certainly Nimbarka was not falsely proud at that time. But then this was a pastime designed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So after going through a little bit on Nimbarka's life, we will come back again to how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu removed his false pride. So now in Aruna Rishi's ashram, back in his childhood, when he was 6 years old, once his father has gone to Nainisaranya, and his mother was alone. At that time, as Swamiji, a sannyasi, Tridandi sannyasi, he came after midday. And then he said, "I have been walking so long and I am very hungry. You please tell your mother to give me bhiksha." So, Niyamananda, that was the name Nimbarka had at that time. When he was given Naam, when he was a small baby, they named him Niyamananda. So this Niyamananda, he went inside his house and told his mother that here is a very wonderful looking effulgent sadhu. And he has been walking so long and he wants to take some prasadam. So quickly make arrangements, because I can see from the way he was speaking to me that he will not take anything after sunset. So very hastily he was told, "Go tell her to get me some breakfast." and he was looking at the sky. So then Nirmananda understood that after sunset he will not accept bhiksha. So then the mother quickly started cooking. While cooking, she was thinking, I would make some khichdi. While making khichdi, she thought, how can one just eat khichdi? There should be some fry with that. Some bhaja should be there. Then she cooked some bhaja. Then she was thinking, how can you eat some bhaja without chutney? You should make some chutney. And then while cooking chutney, she was thinking, and then you can't end the meal with some sour taste. That is not proper, must be some sweet. She started making some sweet. By this time, sun went down. And in great devotion, she is making prasadam, but what to do by the time sunset? So Swamiji sat down and did his achaman, put his hand inside his chadar and started chanting his Gayatri. And when he finished this mantra, Nirmananda came. Then he said, Swamiji, prasad is ready. The Swamiji smiled. I am sorry. I don't eat after sunset. So then Nirmananda said, Who said to you that it is sunset? So then Swamiji said, what? Have you just seen the sun going down? Never chanting my mantra? And this boy says it is not sunset yet. Then he said, you are too small, you don't understand. See, that is east, this is west. And you see that red line there? This means sun is already gone. So then he said, sometimes due to the clouds also there will be a red line in the horizon. Don't mistake it to be sunset. I beg you, the prasad is ready. Only after you eat, sun will set. So then he said, you are so sure about it. He said, why I won't be sure? You look up there, there is sun. And close to the house was a big neem tree. Very tall neem tree. And through the neem tree, this sannyasi, he looked and he saw this bright sun there. It was much high. And he was thinking, he went down, how did he come up? So then he said, then he thought, this is illusion. He said, where? How can there be sun? So Nirmananda said, you see this neem tree? And through the branch of the neem tree, you look there is Arka. So then the Swamiji said, you are Nimbarka. Arka means sun, and Nimba means neem tree. He said, you produce the sun behind the neem tree. He knew it, our sun already said. This was Sudarshan. Sudarshan appeared there. By the prayer of Nirmananda, Sudarshan appeared there and was brightening the whole world again. It was already 2 ghatikas after sunset. The stars had already come up in the sky, and now suddenly everything became bright due to the mercy of Nimbarka. Then the Swamiji went inside, he took prasadam. While he was going, he blessed Nimbarka, and he threw some akshadas on his head. And when Nimbarka woke up, he saw this person had 4 heads, and it was Brahma. And he blessed him. Then he said, now you will instruct the people on the conclusion of Vedas. I have given them Vedas, but now they only have confusion. So you give the conclusion. In this way, Brahma blessed him. So this Nimbarka, he was staying in Govardhan under a neem tree, and he will only take neem juice, no other food. He will take 5 neem fruits, and he will crush them, and some juice will come out, he will drink that. In this way, he performed tapasya for 12 years, and always he was worshipping there. And he did parikrama by circumambulating Govardhan with his body, not by walking. He will roll. This way he will do circumambulation, anga pradakshana. And then he started his tour. He went to Kurukshetra. Then he came to Naimisha. Then he came to Allahabad. And from Allahabad, he came to Navadvip. And that is when he had darshana of Chaitanya. And then again he went back to Allahabad. From there he went to Dwaraka. And then he came back to Naimisharanya. And in Naimisharanya, in a place known as Chakratirtha, there is a pond there known as Chakratirtha. He stayed next to this pond for a long time. That is where he completed his commentary, Parijata Kaustubha. And in this commentary, he has very gently established the philosophy of devotional service without any strong condemnation of other understanding. So later, back in Govardhan, Nimbarka went back home, back to Godhead. Not to just go back, to come back. Then he appeared in Kashmir during Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time. Twenty-eight years before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance, he appeared in Kashmir in a Brahmin family. And he was very learned. From the beginning of his life, he was only studying Shastras all the time. And his name was Keshava. Because he was born in Kashmir, he was known as Keshava Kashmiri. And this Keshava Kashmiri, he went to all directions of the country. Right from the Himalayas, he went down to Kanyakumari, then in this side to Dwaraka and that side to Jagannath Puri. And wherever he went, he was conquering scholars. In this way, he was known as Digvijayi. Digvijayi Pandita means a learned man who is conquering all directions. Then he heard that Navadvip is the seat of knowledge. So then he said, oh, this is simple. I should simply go to Navadvip and defeat all the scholars there. So then I have defeated everyone. So he came to Navadvip. And then as he arrived in Navadvip, he was asking, who is the best scholar here? They asked, why? I want to defeat. So then someone told him, why you are looking for best scholar? If you can defeat our crazy scholars, that is enough. So he said, what is this crazy scholar? He said, we have one young man here, his name is Nimai. He is completely upside down. Everything is ulta with him. So you go defeat him, let us see. So Keshava Kashmiri, he was looking for Nimai. Where is Nimai? Where is Nimai? And Nimai with some of his students, he was just at the bank of Ganges. And he was teaching them some grammar. And while teaching grammar, they will ask him some question. He will say, you just can't Janardhan. And somebody else said, what about this particular Sandhi? Where is the Sandhi? The only Sandhi is a living entity in self-existence. And if you keep on chanting Keshava, then this problem will be solved. And this crazy Sanskrit class is going on there. Anyone who goes by, they think, this is too spiritual. Every 5 minutes there is ecstasy. Every 10 minutes there is Nam Sankirtan. And the poor young men, they left their home, they have come here to learn. And this Nimai is confusing them. So Keshava Kashmiri came there. And he was looking. He was expecting some pandit, some grave, serious man with 3 wrinkles under his eyes and some bald hair and some white hair. And he saw this young, beautiful person with long hair, fully decorated, full garments. And he asked someone, this is Nimai. He said, yes, this is Nimai Pandit. So he came in there, Nimai Pandit, I have come to see you. So Nimai immediately told that he said, I heard about your visit. You are a Digviji. You have conquered all directions. So please bless me. So then, Keshava Kashmiri said, I heard you teach Sanskrit grammar. He said, Sanskrit grammar, it is a very difficult subject matter. For that, one's mind has to be fixed in one particular point. Forgotten my relationship with Krishna, I am suffering in this world. And this is just, all that you see is just ignorance of Krishna. And it is understood as knowledge in this world. So what can I do? In this way, in a very nice manner, he was taking the ear of Keshava Kashmiri and turning it this way and that way. That is what he was doing. And Keshava Kashmiri, though he was so learned, he couldn't understand what was going on. In the meantime, disciples of Nimai, they were standing on that side of this world, holding their mouth, they are laughing, they are holding their mouth. They know what is going on. They know what Nimai means. So then Keshava Kashmiri said, so I want to find out your good understanding of Sanskrit knowledge. So then Nimai said, well, I myself, I cannot produce anything. But I am very good in criticizing. So you do one thing. You compose some poem. And then I will find out how good that is. The Keshav Kashmiri said, but you are a grammarian. You don't know anything about poems. What do you know about the laws of poets? So then he said, I don't know. Now because of you, I will learn something. In this way there will be some understanding. Why don't you please compose a poem? I have heard you are a great poet. Then immediately, on the spot, 100 verses came out of Keshava Kashmiri's mouth. All in perfect meter. Because he was blessed by Saraswati. Saraswati was his deity. Every day he used to talk to Saraswati. He was personally present in his worship. He was blessed. And Saraswati always talked through his tongue. So these verses came out. Then Nimai was standing there listening to it. And then when he completed, then he said, now, O great scholar, you please tell me, what are the ornaments in these 100 verses and what are the defects? Then Keshava Kashmiri's face became red. He said, what? Defects? In my composition? Sandhi. My composition means Saraswati's composition. He speaks through me. Ornaments, I can explain if you want. But how will you understand? You don't know anything about poetry. The next moment he heard, Nimai was reciting one of those 100 verses. Perfectly from his remembrance. Then he said, this is your verse? This is your composition? Keshava Kashmiri said, how is this possible? Even I don't remember these 100 verses. I simply sang them. And how do you remember one of those verses? And so perfectly. So then he said, you are thinking knowledge is coming from Saraswati. But everything is coming from Krishna. And when Krishna wants, he can make someone remember everything. When Krishna doesn't want, he can make him forget everything. Maybe now he is making you forget. And he is making me remember. So then Keshava Kashmiri said, then if you know so much, you explain to me. So then Nimai started explaining the different alankars in this verse. And then he also pointed out 5 defects in that verse. In Keshava Kashmiri, he is strong. He became like this. And he was looking at Nimai. For him, he looked like a big visceral. And he was smiling at him. Even Keshava Kashmiri, he was crying. And he was asking to Saraswati within himself, now how did you fail? So then Nimai said, oh, you look to be very tired. You should go and take some rest. And tomorrow we will talk again. And you can teach me some more poetry. And then all these students, now they couldn't stop anymore. They openly started, ha ha ha. Some of them were showing their fingers in front of Keshava Kashmiri. So then Pandit left. That night he was standing there. He was crying. He was calling Mother Saraswati. Finally she appeared in front of him. Then she said that why you are so much lamenting? You had direct association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now you should be in ecstasy. Then he said, what? I never had any darshan. He said, no, you had argument with him. He defeated you. He is the Supreme Lord whom I am worshipping every day. He said, but you are on my tongue, so how you committed some mistake? So then she said, he is the super soul. He is in my heart, in your heart. He is directing the wanderings of all the living entities. I am also a living entity under his control. So he directed me in such a way that I made some mistakes. And now he has corrected the mistake. Now if he wants, he can explain that these verses have only ornaments, only alankar. And if he wants, he can explain that all these verses are simply absurd. They are not fit to be poetry. Anything is possible for Nimai because he is the Supreme Lord. And he is the son of Nanda Maharaj. Then Keshava Kashmiri understood. And next day he came running. And he was chanting, Gaur, 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 from the previous human name. And he came there and touched his feet. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him that, I just wanted to remove your pride, that's all. Actually, you are a great poet. This composition is so wonderful. I have never heard such a good poetry. In this way he spoke to him some nice things. And then he blessed him. Later, after this meeting, Keshava Kashmiri, he traveled to Nainisha. And in the same Chakratirtha where he stayed thousands of years ago, he stayed in the same ashram. And then he studied the commentary of Nimbarka, which he wrote as Nimbarka. And then he preached there. He became a great acharya in that land. So this is Keshava Kashmiri's story. So in this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his unmanifest pastime, he instructed Nimbarka. Then again, in his manifest pastime, here, he spoke with Nimbarka, who was in the form of Keshava Kashmiri. Now we go to the philosophical contrast, comparison. Now, practically, in these two lines, there is no much difference. In these two lines, with Sri Chaitanya's philosophy, there is no much difference. So, we will only explain those points where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very nicely explained the points which were not fully explained in this line. That much we will take. Now, Nimbarka's difference and oneness is natural. Svabhavika bheda bheda. This is the word used by Nimbarkacharya. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he used the word svarupa bheda bheda, means constitutional oneness and difference. No much difference, but this is more satisfying. This is more clear. Constitutionally, oneness is there, difference is also there. Then second point, to seek association with Radha Krishna. Radha Krishna Sambandha. This is the main object, the goal of life. This is Nimbarka's instruction. And here Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, prema pumarto mahan, to attain love for Sri Radha and Krishna, following in the footsteps of the gopis. This is the goal of life. So one can say one should associate with Radha and Krishna. Then how do you associate with Radha and Krishna? You just go there and associate with them? That is not possible. So you have to take shelter of the dust which are falling from these maids who make yogurt and milk in Vrindavan. Otherwise it is not possible to attain love for Krishna. One can respect Krishna, one can appreciate Krishna, one can even devote to Krishna. But to love Krishna, we have to follow in the footsteps of the gopis. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu cleared that aspect. That point, conscious living entities and unconscious matter, they are like explained as cause and effect in Nimbarka's philosophy. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained them as marginal and external potency, quoting from Vishnu Purana. Vishnu Shakti Para Prokta. He said there are three energies. One is internal, another is external, this is marginal. And that is why you can clearly establish then why this chit, why this conscious living entity is in the material existence. Unless you accept the philosophy of marginal position, Tadastha Shakti, you cannot understand why this Brahman is here. Otherwise you will end up thinking it is covered by illusion, which is wrong. It is not possible. So why it is covered by illusion? Because he has decided to take shelter of external energy. Why did he decide to take shelter of external energy? Because he has forgotten Krishna. Krishna bahirmukha hoy bahu bancha kori. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's explanation is more deep. Then in Nimbarka's line, it was Gopal mantra, which was taken as the mantra for deliverance. And in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's line, the Naam, the name of God, which is actually the fountainhead of all mantras. And Gopal mantra is given later as a Namatnika mantra. That means the holy name is the soul, and other mantras are like bodies coming out of it, different other forms. They cannot function separately if one does not chant the holy name. One may chant so many mantras on so many different dikshas, but if one does not chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, none of these mantras will